Hello again, welcome to the third episode of the Bikepacking Podcast. My name is Mike Wright, and I'll be with you for the next few minutes talking about bikepacking. This episode is based around the kit list. It's a kit list I take, and it's how I make the decisions about exactly what kit I'm going to take on each journey. It's difficult to know where to start these things. In the last episode, I talked about the bike, and I talked about the bags, and I talked about what I wear. So this is a kit that tends to go in the bags on the bike. I'll start with the bag on the front of the bike that goes across the handlebars, because that's probably the easiest one for me. In the bottom of that is my sleeping bag. Now, I put my sleeping bag in a waterproof bag inside waterproof bag that has strapped onto my handlebars. Typically, I take a two-season down bag. I've had one for quite a long time that works for me three seasons, really, or spring and autumn. If I'm out in the summer and it's warm, I might take a quilt, which is even lighter, even smaller. Again, it's down, packs down really tiny. So it'd be a choice between the down quilt, the two-season sleeping bag, which is actually okay for three seasons. It'll only be if I'm bothering in the winter where I take a bigger sleeping bag, where I take my, well, it's a three-season bag, but it's effectively a four-season bag. The down bags are often like that, particularly the older ones, which mine are. So don't scrimp on that, really. What I do is take a silk liner, silk sleeping bag liner, and that works really well with the quilt, because your feet will stick out the bottom and you'll get drafts at the side. And then it works really well with the two-season sleeping bag, adding a bit of heat if you need it, but also it means that you can unzip that and use that like a quilt if you need it. And then with the three-season sleeping bag, as with the other two, it just saves you washing the bags, because washing down bags is a bit of a pain. Try and avoid that, really. So that's what I sleep in. Really good down bags with a silk liner. Underneath that, I have a blow-up sleeping mat at the moment. It is one that's made by Alpkit. What's it called now? Cloud Base, it's called. Some of these lightweight blow-up ones are, I don't know what it is. It's something to do with the design of the tubes. You just seem to roll off them. They're a bit too narrow. They don't really work very well. And this Cloud Base one is working quite nicely. I don't know how long it'll last. And to be fair, I also use a footprint under my tent, but I don't use the commercial footprint that I get bought. I use closed cell foam pad. It's carry mat, essentially, and it's 4mm thick. I have 2 meter square pieces. I carry them in a rucksack on my back because they're dead light, a bit bulky, but they're dead light. And I put those underneath my tent. And that has been really good, because it means I'm insulated from the ground, whatever I'm doing in my tent, so I can actually put my sleeping mat away and still be insulated from the ground. And those, they get put away last of everything. Means I can take down my inner tent inside my outer tent, and I'm still on these mats off the floor. So the 2 1-meter square closed cell phone pad is underneath the ground sheet of my tent, like a footprint, and I carry that in my rucksack on my back. I'm going back to the bag on the front of the bike now. The bag on the front of the bike is where I keep my sleeping bag and my... It's an airbed, essentially. You just blow it up like that. Also in that bag, I can usually get my stove in there as well. I've got a Alpkit Krakow, I think it's called. Tiny little stove. There's a few different makes of these. Tiny little stove. Pops in a titanium pan with a gas cylinder, with a lighter, probably some tea bags. I've got a little base for it to stand on so it doesn't fall over. You could even get a windshield in there as well. I tend to use it under my fly sheets. I haven't really been using a windshield, but I wouldn't say a windshield's a bad thing. I would say it's a good thing. That'll go in there. And also in there's my tent. Currently I'm using a... gone blank now, what's it called? Terra Nova Laser Competition 1. Weighs less than a kilogram. It's side opening. One pole over the top, two little poles at the end. They're a bit awkward to get in, but they do make a difference. But there's a lot of brilliant things about the tent. One is you can put the inner and the outer up at the same time together, or you can put the outer up first, or if you're inside and it's bad weather, you can take the inner down, pack everything away with the outer still up. And the weather we sometimes get in the UK, that's a real advantage. It's painful trying to put a tent up in the rain when you've got to put the inner up first. A lot of continental American style tents do that, and it's you know, you'll get away with it a lot of the time in Britain, but there'll be a time where it's rained all day and you get into camp and it's chucking it down and you're trying to put your tent up in the rain and the inside's getting wet. The other thing to watch out for is ones with mesh inners as well. They're cold because the wind whistles through under the ground sheet and you don't build up that store of heat that you get in a tent when you're in there on your own. Being side opening means you have a really big porch full length of the tent, and again that's really important because you need to keep your wet kit out there. You need to keep as much out there as you can. Everything's in waterproof bags, so you can put what you want out there. But you can also use that area to get undressed, because you want to keep inside the tent dry. So as you sort of, I always describe as doing a forward roll into the tent. It's not quite a forward roll, but it feels a bit like that. Because you're stripping off the wet outer layers, leaving them in the porch as you get into the tent, because you obviously don't want it wet in the tent with your sleeping bag and your mats and everything. So all that is in the front bag that goes on my handlebars, the tent, the sleeping mat, the sleeping bag, the stove, fuel, all that's in that front bag. It's not a bag I go into during the day. I strap up my handlebars and I leave it there. That's it. That just stays on there all day. It doesn't get touched until I come to base camp. Now, if I'm staying in hostels or hoteling, which I do sometimes, I don't need to take that bag at all. I'll just keep that free. You see what I mean? So that gives you that flexibility. I have another bag, an aero pack, it's called, on my tail fin rack on the back, and that's where this other stuff goes. Probably the first thing to go in is a warm jacket. I carry an extra puffer jacket. It's not down, because again, down will get wet. It's got a thermofleece type stuff inside it. It's one that is pretty waterproof actually and warm. Absolutely brilliant for evenings, for break times. Superb piece of kit. Packs up quite small. That goes in a waterproof bag. Also in that bag is a woolly hat and some bigger gloves. I take a woolly hat that doesn't have a bobble on, quite a thin one that I can put under my helmet if I need it. And I've got some gloves that sort of pack down quite small, but are really warm and puffy for my hands when it's cold. So that's a really important bag. Always take that, whatever I'm doing. That goes in for the back of the bike there. There's a big argument for keeping that one on your body, because if you stop, it's really nice to put that warm jacket on. So if I'm getting a bit overloaded in that back bag that's on the rack, I will take the jacket out and put that in the rucksack on my back, so it's there and handy. I've also carried that on in one of the bags on my crossbar, but it's probably easiest just to put it in the rucksack. But it depends a bit of the time of year and the weather. Really handy to be able to get to that bag. The other thing that's in there is what I call evening wear. If I'm on a trip where I may well be in a hostel or a hotel or a pub in the evening, I need something to change into. I don't often change into it in the tent, to be fair. In the tent, I usually just strip off, getting my sheet sleeping bag under the sleeping bag. But having something to put on in hostels and pubs and things, and if you're on a long trip where you need to wash your biking gear, then obviously having something to wear while you do that is really good. And I love cotton for this. I have a pair of cotton undies and a cotton t-shirt or a little cotton shirt, and the trousers are a modern lightweight fabric that roll up really small. There's absolutely no bulk in there. It's amazing. No socks, because I'll use my flip-flops. Remember, I've got my Croc flip-flops in my bag on my back. They're really good for river crossings, really good for knocking around in the evenings. Even if you're camping, they're great just to put on when you come out of the tent. But obviously, if you're in a hotel or somewhere, they're really good for that. The other sort of key bag in there would be the change of cycling clothing. It'll have another base layer in, another pair of cycling shorts in, and another pair of socks. Typically, I just wear good woolly socks, and I wear a pair for about 3 days. If they've got a high proportion of merino wool in, they don't tend to get too sweaty. They do get wet, and it can be difficult drying them out. I've just started experimenting with seal skin socks again. I've used them in the past and didn't get on with them, but I think they've improved. So I'm going to try those on the next trip, and hopefully they'll keep my feet a little bit warmer. So that's a spare socks or waterproof socks, spare cycling undies, spare base layer. I don't take spare cycling trousers. I just use soft shell trousers. I don't take spare ones of them. They just get dirty, that's all there is to it. Worth mentioning, well, I just thought I'd take the woolly hat. I also have a sun hat as well. Again, check the weather. But if I'm... It's surprising how often you take the helmet off bikepacking. If you're on a big climb and it's warm, just take your hat helmet off because you get too hot. But if you're getting too hot and the sun's out, then you need a sun hat. So I have a sun hat somewhere on the bike as well. It's often in my glasses case on the top crossbar, but you definitely need something to put on for those sort of situations. The electrics bag goes in here. I have carried it on the crossbar bag when I've needed it during the day, but I find the phone and everything else electrical lasts all day now, so it's not a big problem really. But I have a power pack and recharging cables. They go in a little waterproof bag in this bag on the back of the bike. Also in that bag, I will have earplugs. If you need earplugs in the evening, if you camp, if it's windy and your tent's flapping, or you're near a stream, or you're in a hostel and there are other people there, you might want some earplugs. They're worth the weight in gold. The other thing I put in there is a buff for one of these stretchy neck gaiters. They're really good for all sorts of things, really. But one of the things I wear them for is a blindfold. If I'm out in summer and it's just light so much, I put those on to use as a blindfold. I also use them when it's really hot, dip it in puddles, put it around my neck to keep my neck cool. I use it for all sorts of things, a buff. Also in that bag will be my mug, nice light mug. Probably got a spoon chucked in there as well. Sometimes I'll carry a knife. If I'm carrying butter for spreading, it is better carrying a bigger knife for that. I've got a pen knife, but it's difficult spreading butter with a pen knife. You can use a spoon, to be fair, but you know, it's just a bit, I guess that's a luxury item, isn't it? Carrying a butter knife. Some would argue carrying butter is a luxury item, but I like to carry butter. It keeps. Obviously it doesn't want to be too hot, but that's rarely a problem. It keeps, but for me, bread and butter, things like hot cross buns, I carry a bit of jam as well, butter, jam on hot cross bun or bread for me is nicer than an energy bar, and I honestly don't think it's any worse in terms of energy, and I think it's probably healthier than a lot of energy bars. I mean, energy bars are tiny as well, at least you feel full after eating a jam sandwich. So that's all probably in that back one. What else we've got in there? We've got food, really. Food and rations. Depends what I'm doing, where I'm going. Sometimes that food will go in the crossbar bag, actually. I can get quite a few meals in the crossbar bag. I need a bag of porridge as well, and it's just where that fits best. If it goes best in the crossbar bag, that's fine. If it goes in the bag on the back, then that's fine as well. So it doesn't particularly matter which bag that's in. Head torch, I usually have a head torch. That'll be probably my crossbar bag, the head torch, so that I can get to that if I need it. Again, depending on the time of year, you know, if it's midsummer, you're probably not going to need it, are you? But if it's a winter, you do want it handy. You do want it there to grab. you need a dish. If you use porridge and homemade freeze-dried food, as I do, you need a dish with a lid on. I actually have two. I have a little one for me breakfast that has a nice screw on lid, but it's not quite big enough for my dinner, that one. I have a slightly bigger one for my dinner, but they are, because if you buy freeze-dried food, you rehydrate it in the packet, don't you? But if you're making it yourself, you need something to rehydrate it in. So a plastic tub, you know, like a Tupperware or whatever you want to call them, with a lid on. I've got a collapsible one with a lid on, and I put my dinner in there, put my hot water on it, give it a stir, put the lid on, leave that for a few minutes, and that rehydrates that meal quite nicely. So that's worth looking at. Other thing I'm just starting to do is take an extra pan as well. I have 1 pan for water, taking an extra pan now so I can fry stuff or cook stuff. So if I'm visiting a town or a place, I think I did talk about this a little bit in the last podcast, something I'm just developing at the moment is getting more real food, because the dehydrated stuff, it's all right, but it's not brilliant, really. I'm not that keen on it, to be honest. So trying to get some real food going on. Nuts are a good thing to have. Obviously got lots of energy, lots of protein, really good for you. Anything you can throw nuts into is a pretty wise move. And when you're fading in the afternoon, nuts are good as well. On some of the longer trips, I've taken vitamin C tablets as well. Just pop them in the afternoon water bottle. It gives you a bit of a pickup, because it can be hard eating fruit on these long trips. Wash kit. I keep this pretty small. If I'm on a long trip, I'll take a razor. If I'm on a short trip, I won't bother. But I will have a sponge and some sort of soap that I can, doesn't matter if I eco soap, you might call it. You know, I don't want to be polluting any water courses, but it is nice to have some soap for when you need it. So a soap and a sponge, I can therefore shave. And obviously toothbrush, toothpaste is really important as well. I did mention my reading glasses before, so I won't go over those again. And sunglasses I mentioned too. Pack towels, a handy bit of kit. Really quick drying, dead easy to use. If you are washing outside or having a wild swim, really good to have a pack towel. You can also use it sort of wiping out the tent as well, if you get a bit of you know, a bit of spillage in your tent, they're quite good for that too. Don't carry much first aid kit. I've got it down to about 4 or 6 plasters and a wound dressing and some painkillers. Most of the things, if it's gone wrong, I'm probably just going to be sitting still and keeping warm and waiting for help. So just something to stop bleeding, plasters for nicks and cuts, painkillers if I have hurt myself badly, and aspirin in case I have a heart attack. Coupled with that, it's worth mentioning I carry a PLB, a personal locator beacon. Some of these are subscription based, but I just get one. It's a one-off fee. Ocean Rescue Me, I think it's called, PLB 1. Tiny little thing it is, really. I keep that in my rucksack. I keep that on my body. A friend of mine had a slip where he fell away from the bike and slid down a bank, and he was okay. He got back up and got back on the bike, but his PLB was on his bike. So in that situation, had it not been a nice outcome, he would have been stuck. So you carry your PLB on your body or on your rucksack so that if you're separated from your bike and things go wrong, you can call an emergency from anywhere in the world, which is pretty good. Another thing people will be asking about is bike spares. Because of the way I've gone with my bike, I don't need tubes, I don't need lube even. I've got a carbon fibre drive chain. I can't change a tube anyway, because I've got these really good tubeless tyres that don't tend to get punctures. And they're so hard to get on and off the rims that I'm going to be calling for help anyway. I have bicycle breakdown with ETA, Ethical Transport Association. It's 20 odd quid a year, and they'll come and get you if you're stuck somewhere, so that's a nice thing to think about. So match your spares to A, the ability you've got to fix things, and B, potential issues with your bike. Don't feel you all have to carry the same thing. I do carry a multi-tool, might be useful for adjusting things here there, and I carry a pump. Sometimes I lose a bit of air. Got a pump clipped onto my rack at the back. other sort of emergency gear are money, cash. These days, I just use my phone. I don't know about you to pay for things. It's not very often that doesn't work, but occasionally it doesn't work. So I do have 20 quid cash secreted away in a little plastic bag with a credit card or a debit card if I need it. I have my bus pass. I'm of an age where I got a bus pass over 60 in Wales and you get a free bus pass. So that's really handy in case it all goes wrong and get the bus home. And I've my wife's phone number, because if I lose my phone, something goes wrong with my phone, then that's one number I really need, isn't it? So I've written that down, got that on a piece of paper in my... I usually keep that on the bike, to be fair. I probably should put it in my rucksack, but I usually keep it on the bike, in one of those bags on the bike. Depending on the time of year, I might have sunscreen, might have insect repellent. Not keen on either of those things. I tend to cover up more than use them, but it'd be silly not to think about taking sunscreen in the summer. Definitely, you know, ears and neck, those sort of places. Maybe even legs, cycling in shorts, often cycling quick-drying shorts in the summer. Get wet, get dry, but you might need some sunscreen on. Insect repellent, again, I prefer the wind to keep insects away, particularly midges. I don't really want to be covering myself in insect repellent if I'm not able to have a wash, so just kind of think about that one. Water bottles, I have two water bottles on the bike frame and one in a stem bag that I fill those up before going to camp. I don't carry them around full all the time. But as it's getting late in the afternoon, they get filled up. So that I go to camp with about just over 2 litres of water, which will do my evening meal, a few drinks, and enough for breakfast. So I'm not stressing about whether I've got a water source nearby or not. And even if I've got a water source nearby, I don't want to be getting out of the tent to get water if I don't have to. I carry a bike lock. I've just got a fairly lightweight one. I don't think it'd stop many people nicking the bike, but it'd slow down any opportune thieves. But I always think it's a big, heavy bike. If I took it around the back of places, you've just got to be sensible. If you're camping somewhere, you think you need a bike lock, you're camping in the wrong place. Most of the time, I just lay my bike down outside my tent, and it's absolutely fine. There's just chance of theft of your bike. If you're in the right place, it's really low. But if you're in town and you want to pop in a supermarket, that's the main time. Just leave it outside the supermarket, stick a little bike lock on it, then it's pretty handy. Again, I don't think anybody would nick it the places I go, but peace of mind. I always have some reading matter. Sometimes I take a real book, but I always have books on my phone. If not, I might take a hip flask on. It's tricky if you're out. If I'm out for two nights, say I'm doing my Bothy trip in the winter, then a hip flask, nice, with some really nice whiskey in. But if I'm any longer than that, I end up carrying an empty hip flask, because how do you refill a hip flask? It's quite tricky to refill, isn't it? If you're going to buy a half bottle of whiskey, you might as well just carry a half bottle of whiskey. And if you just have one night, then a hip flask got quite a lot of whiskey in for me, or whatever you want to put in your hip flask. So a hip flask is a really nice thing to have. You usually take one in the winter if you're doing sort of Bothy trips, sitting around the fire in a Bothy, then yeah, a wee dram is absolutely fantastic. One other thing I haven't talked about that I think is lunch. It will vary a lot with lunch, but I try and have a emergency malt loaf for me all times. I love malt loaf, and if I haven't managed to get some lunch, malt loaf keeps forever. I've nearly always got one in my rucksack. If it gets squashed, it really doesn't matter. I've got something to eat that'll get me along to the next supply stop. I like Eccles cakes. My stem bags are Eccles cakes shape. But it's really good to stop places for lunch. Really good. Getting a baker's or somewhere, get a sandwich, get a pie, whatever you fancy. It is nice to do that if you can. Carrying breads, a bit of a pain, but, you know, with the flat breads, so as I mentioned earlier, the hot cross buns, things like that, can usually get them in somewhere without them getting squashed too much. It's a real advantage of having a rucksack, to be honest, because I have those mats that go under my tent in the rucksack, and I have my flip-flops in my rucksack, so it weighs absolutely nothing. But if I've got something that I don't want to squash, by forcing it into one of my bike bags, then just goes in the rucksack. You know, if you're shopping, you take your rucksack with you. So having a rucksack, and I take a 30-litre rucksack as well, it's kind of a waterproof rucksack, but I never quite trust that, but it seems to be doing the job. It wasn't dear. I got it in a sailing help kit, the one I'm using at the moment. So don't rule out a rucksack. A lot of the roadies will be say, oh, you mustn't carry a rucksack, but because we're not double down forward in the same position all day, you know, we're sat upright or we're walking, we're moving around a bit, it's not that bad carrying a rucksack. It doesn't have any weight in it really, so yeah, I quite like a rucksack. Other things to think about: adapt your kit to the trip you're doing. If you're going overnight and you're camping, you don't need any spare clothes. You're going to wear the same clothes both days. If you're going for 3 days, for me, I don't need a change of clothes. If I'm staying places, then I do need the evening clothes. So adjust what you're carrying to the trip you're carrying. You don't have a fixed list. I would make a list. I have a list. I have it on my computer. Print it out for most trips. And I revisit it when I come back and think, have I got what I need? Do I want to try something else? Constantly evaluating what you got there. But the other thing to think about here, some people are very purist about just wild camping, and maybe they haven't got a lot of money to spend. But if you've managed to get yourself a decent bike and all this kit I'm talking about, then the odds are you do have a little bit of money, and bikepackers can be seen as good tourists. So if you can afford it, then staying places, stopping in cafes, buying from local shops. It's dead easy to go to the supermarket. You know, I love pulling up at a Co-op, to be honest. But if you can find a baker's or a grocer's or a butcher's, then you're doing much more for that local community. So see yourself as a ethically responsible tourist, and you have an obligation, if you like, to stay in independently owned hostels or hotels or bed and breakfasts. Don't be, you know, don't back away from buying meals. In the summer, you can stop at a pub, have a pub meal, and then cycle up the hill to camp somewhere wild. You know, some people will let you camp if you ask. You know, I've definitely camped on farms, so I've seen the farm and said, you know, have you got a little corner I can camp in? Do you mind me camping over here? Try to talk to people. Big house, big garden, maybe they'll let you camp there. So that's not a problem. All I'm just saying, I think, is just try to be responsible, try to be ethical, try have a positive impact on the places you go. What you find is you've probably heard a tale from a walker who had a bad experience with a mountain biker, shouting them to get out of the way, coming past them too fast, and therefore they hate all people on bikes. So go out your way to be nice to walkers, go out your way to be nice to people, go out your way to be make a positive contribution to these small rural economies. Don't just buy everything before you go, don't just buy everything in the supermarket. Do your best to be an eco-tourist. You are an eco-tourist. You're on a bike, for goodness sake. Have you planned a bikepacking trip from your house yet? You should be doing that. Get a map out. There can't be a house in Britain that you can't create a bikepacking route from. So take your responsibility seriously and do your best for place, environment, and for people. See the whole thing as a holistic affair. Okay, I'm going to go now. I do want to talk about a trip in possibly the next podcast. I'm hoping to interview another bikepacker as well next week. So, listen, this podcast will only work if you like it. So, feedback, comment, send me questions or queries. Subscribe. That's the most important thing, because then you will get to notified about future episodes. I've been Mike Rain. Thanks for listening.